Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who successfully got out of jury duty yesterday. Jim, that should be good martini number one right there.
You know, listeners to this podcast and readers of Campaign Spot probably stunned that the defense attorneys were unnerved about having me on the jury. I did not go in chanting guilty, 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 or anything like that. I do take my duty as a citizen responsibly. Having said that, I was not eager to do so, and it sounds like it was a horrible, horrible crime that I'm glad I was not on the jury for. So thank him for small miracles. They won't be calling me for 3 years now. So
that's always happy. On to martini number one now. And Jim, Dan Foster and I were just talking yesterday in the last couple of days about this private equity versus public equity idea. Of course, the Obama campaign going after Mitt Romney for his allegedly vulture capitalistic career, and the Romney campaign firing right back with how do you like public equity versus private equity? The president gave his friends a ton of money in these green energy loans that didn't pan out. He's cost taxpayers billions of dollars and was all for political cronyism, not for some ideological energy movement that he's part of. That seemed to blunt the Obama strategy now. And the latest Obama strategy is to talk about how Mitt Romney has been a great disappointment as the governor of Massachusetts between 2003 and 2007. Jim, turns out all of his promises weren't necessarily kept. He projected accomplishments that he wasn't able to actually achieve. It's a good thing Obama doesn't have that problem on the retaliation front.
President expiration date will warn us about the dangers of politicians overpromising. Yeah, a couple of thoughts on this. This is why I nominate this for the good martini. One, you figure the Obama campaign probably thought that the Bain Capital line of attack was their most effective one. And at least so far, there's really very little indication that the polls had that much of an impact. Maybe they'll, you know, maybe after weeks and weeks and months of running attack ads on this, maybe it'll end up being an issue, but I think that so far it's a wash. That, you know, this maybe even has backfired in the cases of having all the Democrats like Cory Booker come out and say, whoa, 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 private equity and you know, investors and capital, these are not bad things, and Obama should not be demonizing all of them. So inevitably, it was almost certain that at some point Obama was going to pivot from that to look at the Romney's record as a governor. I don't think you can make an argument that Mitt Romney was the world's most phenomenal governor. I don't think you can make a case that, you know, he was a disastrous governor. So the idea that Obama is going to go after Romney on this and argue that, well, he promised more than he delivered. Well, gee whiz, Mr. President, how do you think people feel about you? I mean, rhetoric on job creation, size of government, deficits and tax. Does any of this stuff sound familiar? Writing about this earlier on Campaign Spot, my single biggest challenge was picking out the broken promises by Obama that I wanted, because there's so many of them. And I thought about, you know, if I don't have this done in 3 years, this is going to be a one-term proposition, in the sense that the stimulus was supposed to turn around the economy by now. He was going to cut the deficit in half in his first term, and obviously we've been nothing even remotely close to that. I think probably one of the most revealing broken promises on Obama was that during the 2008 primary, he was attacking Hillary Clinton for proposing an individual mandate for health insurance, requiring Americans to buy health insurance. He thought that was a silly idea, then he turns around and adopts it. So the idea that, you know, Obama is really going to do damage to Romney by charging that he makes promises and doesn't keep them, I find fascinating and strikes me as a sign of desperation. Maybe they were always destined to go with this. But basically, the Obama message, Greg, amounts to Obama 2012, stick with the broken promises you know. Don't take chances on the guy who might not keep a promise. Stay with the guy who you know will break his promises, rather than the risky gamble on the guy who might keep them, might not.
I'm guessing the Romney campaign will have a pretty rapid response to this. They've done a very good job of that so far on some of these other issues, and the RNC has been pretty on top of it as well. Another thing Mitt Romney's been good at, Jim, is not making himself look like he's out on the fringe, in particular on the issue that's now known as birtherism. But now that issue's back as it relates to Donald Trump, since Romney's associating himself with Trump again, Trump doubling down on his previous birth certificate demands as it relates to President Obama. Not sure this is the biggest problem Romney will face in this campaign, but it could potentially serve as a temporary bright, shiny object.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the worst of bad martinis, but I am someone who has been critical of Donald Trump for, you know, a very long time. I always thought he was a poor standard bearer and a poor messenger for the conservative message or Republican message. Apparently, he's been a very effective fundraiser for the Romney campaign, and they like having him around. Now, do I think this is a bigger deal than, say, you know, Bill Maher donations to Barack Obama? Do I think it's a bigger deal than John Corzine still being listed as a bundler for the Obama campaign? Do I think it's a bigger deal than Al Sharpton being a... No, I don't think it's a bigger deal than any of those things. Having said that, Donald Trump has always been a loose cannon, to say the least, and you have absolutely no idea what's going to come out of his mouth. Yesterday with CNN, when Wolf Blitzer accused him of being ridiculous. No, Wolf, I think you're being ridiculous. This is huge. I just figure it's someday in the not-too-distant future, Donald Trump will unveil a new line of birth certificate-themed ties, now available from a very – these are classy things, Greg. Classy neckties, pure Italian silk. Actually, Kenyan silk. They say it's made in Hawaii, but I believe the silk is from Kenya. You know, there is an element of farce to this, and I think that just like with, you know, a lot of spices, Donald Trump is something that's probably good with it. Just a touch of it, just a bit of some moderation. Too much Donald Trump could probably spoil the broth, so to speak. I don't think this is a serious electoral liability for Romney, but I just think it. He's such a wild card. It's so unpredictable. It's not unthinkable that at some point, you know, Trump could say something that, you know, really causes headaches for the Romney campaign, even more than birtherism. So I hope the Romney campaign knows what it's doing when it comes to dealing with Donald Trump.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure whatever Trump's talking about, he'll refer to something that's really, really fantastic, because I think it's impossible
for him. It's huge. I had said huge earlier, and a reader corrected me that technically Donald Trump pronounces it Y-U-G-E. Huge. Greg, I'm telling you, this is going to be huge. Class, it's all class, huge. Huge class.
You know, Newt's obviously out of it. Romney clinched the nomination. Newt dropped out about a month ago now. But he was asked about this for some reason, and he said, Barack Obama's an American-born job-destroying president. If there's any way to change the subject that quickly, Mitt Romney might want to take a small page out of the Gingrich rhetoric book there. On to martini number three now, Jim. And it was only several months ago that Thaddeus McCotter, congressman from Michigan, former member of the House Republican leadership, was running for president. Most people didn't realize that. It wasn't a very high-profile campaign. He dabbled in Iowa a little bit, got out before any of the actual votes were counted, planned to run for re-election, still is running for re-election, but for some reason, he hasn't been able to actually get the number of signatures required to get his name back on the ballot. He's running as a write-in. Leadership is apparently behind him, and his only opponent in the primary is a teacher who also raises reindeer in her spare time, and it appears that he's probably likely to win re-election, despite the fact that clearly his campaign didn't have its act together here.
Well, good for Congressman McCotter. This is not the same thing against Mrs. Claus. It seems like a nice woman. Her gifts distribution business is seasonal, but apparently very successful. This is a very strange thing. Thad McCotter has always been one of my favorites. I describe him as the Stephen Wright of Congress. He has this very dry, sarcastic sense of humor. His campaign, as you said, did not take off at all, and it was kind of surprising to see that he couldn't even get the minimum 2-3% or whatever it was to qualify for the debates. When you see Gary Johnson and you know, folks like Herman Cain entering the debates and McCotter not making it, it seems kind of befuddling. The fact that he had an issue getting back on the ballot is not reassuring and suggests the ball was dropped. I hope he remains in Congress. He, as I said, he's a unique voice. But getting on the ballot and qualifying, getting signatures, petitions, all these sorts of things, this is like the basic blocking and tackling of politics. And if you don't do these sorts of things, nothing else you do is going to matter. So hopefully McCotter is able to pull through on this, and hopefully he and his staff are a little more focused on the details in future campaigns if he decides to pursue future offices.
Despite not being on the ballot, most folks expect this write-in campaign to work, although Thaddeus McCotter is a little bit tougher to write in than Mike Smith or something. But
Thad just works, T-H-A-D or something.
There you go, with the exclamation mark on the yard.
But, you know, if he does, you know, if he ends up, you know, we can say, Greg.
What's
welcome
that?
Back, McCotter.
Very good. Very good. Jim, welcome back. Glad you got out of jury duty. Good job doing your civic duty. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Karembas of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.